All right, so today is the 12th of March, 2018, the 25th of Adar, Tavshin Ayin Ches, and we are up to Halacha Day of Perek Tesvav, and probably, I think it just behooves us to talk about the main halachic issue that comes up in Tesvav, and that is that applies to Zman Hazeh, and that is the issues of Hilchos Nida, the laws of family purity, at least the basis, the background. What is the foundation? So that all comes from this parak. Okay, so we'll try to take it slow. Okay, so over the course of this parak, we have first in Pasuk Tes Zayin describes a man that is that emits seed, and one who emits seed, so he himself is going to be tamei, and she who receives it is also going to be tamei. That's not necessarily so relevant to us anymore. It's relevant for men. That would be the reason for men to go to the mikvah. But there's a little bit of relevance to that, or at least a hint to that, as we'll get to a little bit later. Number two is the next section, Pasuk Yutes. So that describes a woman who is a zava. So if she is a zava, she is what we call a zava gedola. That first describes the halachos of a nida. So what is the halachos of a nida? So that is a standard menstruant woman. So a standard menstruant woman, she gets her period, we'll say once a month. So she at that point is a nida. Now if you look in the Torah, when is she allowed to go to the mikvah? So a woman who is a menstruant, according to the Torah, goes to the mikvah 7 days after the onset of her period. Okay. Now, one learns through the Gemara, one gets the impression that her period wasn't very long. Nowadays, a period could actually be 7 days or 5, 6, 7 days. But the impression that one gets from learning is that it, for some whatever reason, was shorter. But be that as it may, 7 days after the onset of her period is when she would then go to the mikvah. Next, Pasuk describes the halachos of a zava. Now there's two halachos of zava that are being taught with regards to women. Number one is one is a zava katana and the other one is a zava gedola, a minor zava versus a major zava. So what is the difference between that? So it is length of time. A minor zava will see blood either 1 day or 2 days. If she sees 1 day or even 2 days in a row, she's referred to as a zava katana. And what is her halacha? Her halacha is going to be that she will go to the mikvah after her clean day. Well, possibly even before that, but practically she would go to the mikveh after her clean day, so she would bleed. And then the next day, she would wait for it to be clean. If it was clean, she'd be able to go to the mikveh that night. Yeah?
This is distinguished by the fact that it's not her regular cycle.
Right. So how does one know whether it is zava blood or whether it is nida blood? So, right, as Sam just pointed out, right, the blood is the same. It's going to look the same and feel the same, etc. Right. It's just the issue is at what point of the month it's coming. So the Gemara says for 11 days is when she would be considered a zava. So what does that mean, 11 days? So the Rambam says, well, it goes in a rotation. 7 days Nida, 11 days Zava, 7 days Nida, 11 days Zava. So a woman is going to have to keep track, right? Did it fall in one of the 7 days or the 11 days? So even if she doesn't have a period for, let's say, 2 months, so, and then she gets one, so she's going to then have to figure out, is that one of the 7 days or is that one of the 11 days? So how the Rambam, that's what the Rambam says. Why he says it is unclear. It's a little difficult just to wrap our heads around. The way most Rishonim understand it is that the 11 days following her period are known as a Zava period. Right? That's an unnatural time for her to have it. After 11 days come and go, so then then it goes back to being Nida blood. Right? So then you're back to being Nida, and then next time she gets her period, we're going to call that Nida rather than Zava.
11 and 7, it's only 18 days. What happens after that?
No. According to most Rishonim, she's going to have her period, she'll go to the mikvah. According to the Torah law, right, she would be going to the mikvah on day 7.
Right.
If she gets a period and she sees blood in the next 11 days, she's a zava. And then after that, liolam vaed, the next time that she would get a period would be nida. We would consider it normal blood as opposed to zava blood. Right, according to the Rambam, it's getting confusing. Well, wait a second, which time was it? Okay, goes back and forth. Okay, so the halacha then is there's two types. Zava katana, right? She sees 1 day or 2 days. She waits to see whether she's clean, and then she could go to the mikvah. A Zava Gedola is a woman who sees for 3 days straight. Doesn't necessarily have to be consecutive, a consecutive flow. Just she sees on 3 days straight, she's what's referred to as a Zava Gedola. And what is the halacha of a Zava Gedola? Says the Pasuk, she needs to do 7 clean days. Right, she has to count what's called Shiva Nikim. She has to make sure the blood stops. She has to count 7 clean days. And then when the 7 clean days are up, so she could go to the mikvah. Okay?
What if she gets Nida before the 7?
If she gets a Nida in between, so then the clock starts again.
So she has 7 clean days.
Right. Following the end of her Zava Gedola period. Okay?
So we have to wait. So let's say she gets a Zava before Nida. She has to wait until after the Nida to actually start the 7 day.
If she gets, if her Zava days lead into her Nida days, so you would still require Shiva Nikiyam, I would assume. This is all, again, this is all Torah level. This is all, like, way out there. So it's going to be very hard to figure out exactly what the Psak is. But my assumption is that she would, the requirement for Shiva Nikiyam doesn't go away just because it was interrupted by Nida blood.
Okay?
Okay. So the Gemara comes about, and says, you know, this is all very confusing. Looking around the room, you can understand how this could all be very confusing. Right? Is she going to keep track of whether this is Zava blood or whether it's Nida blood? So the Gemara comes around and says, you know what? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi made a takana that whenever she sees blood, we're going to treat it in the most machmir possible way. So what would that be, the most machmir possible way? What? So not necessarily. Because if she sees blood for 1 day or 2 days, so she can't be a Zava Gedola. Right, so what are we going to treat her as? A 1 day or 2 day seer of blood? No, we'll treat her as a Nida. Right, that's the confusing part of the Gemara. That's going to end up being more machmir, but she's going to have to wait 7 days. So if she sees for 1 day, or she sees for 2 days, so according to the Torah, if it's part of her Zava time of month, she would go to the mikvah the next night. If it's part of her Nida time of month, she has to count 7 days. So that's very confusing. So if she sees for 1 or 2 days, we're going to call her a Nida, regardless of what throw out the calendar of 7 or 11. We're not going to bother with that calendar. If she sees 1 or 2 days, she's a Nida. And if she sees 3 or more, she's a Zava Gedola. And therefore, even if she is a Nida, even if it's a Nida time of month, we're going to make her account for being a Zava Gedola, which would mean Shiva Nikim, 7 clean days. Okay? So now, from the time of the Gemara, in time of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so he has changed it. Any time a woman sees blood, she's going to have a minimum of 7 days. Right? If it's for 1 or 2 days, it's going to be 7 days from when she starts seeing it.
7 clean days.
No, that would be 7 not necessarily clean days, because she's a Nida. Right? 1 or 2 days, we're going to treat her as a Nida. You don't need to have clean days if you're a Nida. It's just 7 days from the onset of the period. Okay? So it would be 7 days. If it's 3 days or more, even if it was part of the Nida time, we're going to treat her as Zava Gedola and require Shiva Nikim, 7 clean days. Okay? So that's still kind of confusing. What?
That's really confusing still.
It's still confusing. It's a little less confusing than the Torah, because this way you don't have to keep track of a calendar anymore. Right? This way you're just keeping track of how long she saw blood for. Right? So it makes it less confusing in that matter. But it's still pretty confusing because you have to keep track. There's two possibilities of what she could be.
Well, is there also the issue of when you start counting the 7 days? Like, if it's actually Nida, then you start 7 days from the outset, and if it's Zava Gedola, then you start 7 days from when it stops.
Right. Okay. So that's still confusing. Right, so therefore the Rabbana, so the Gemara then says, you know what, that was kind of confusing. We had these women scratching their head, and that's not good. So the Gemara tells us, "Benos Yisrael hichmiru al atzman," that the daughters of Israel decided to be machmir upon themselves, and just said the following: anytime a woman sees blood, assuming it is with hargasha, assuming it is with this inner feeling, which we didn't talk about yet, I don't know if we'll get to it. Right, anytime, even if it's only for 1 day, and even if it's a tiny amount, we're going to say she's a Nida. She's a Nida and a Zava. All the chumers are thrown at her, and she's going to require Shiva Nikim. She's going to require 7 clean days. Right? So that already sounds more familiar with what we are doing today. Right? Nowadays, anytime a woman sees blood, she's going to be required to count Shiv and Nikim before she can go to the mikvah and be able to be back with her husband. There is a bit of a question as to why that should be. I mean, yes, it's a little confusing, but it's a little hard to figure out what exactly you're protecting from. So there are different explanations as to what exactly you're protecting from. Maybe we're concerned that there was blood that came that she didn't necessarily see, or maybe it's that they're just to make sure that the Shiv and Nikim are always observed, whatever it is, but that's the Itim. Benos Yisrael Hichmiru Al Atzman. Now, notice there's a little bit of a different language all of a sudden that's being used. With regards to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's decree, right, that was a decree, that was a gezeira, or a takana, I'm not sure what the language is of the Gemara, but that was a gezeira, so that is a full-fledged din derabbanan. That's a full-fledged rabbinic law. Right, it's going to be very hard to get around that. But when we say the following, well, Benos Yisrael Hichmiru Al Atzman, what does the words mean? The daughters of Israel were stringent upon themselves. So what is that? What is that? Is that a din d'oraisa? No, right? I thought it's not a biblical injunction. Right? Is it a din d'rabbanan? So Sam is like, not really. It says the daughters establish it, right? They're not the rabbanan, right? That was a chum. It sounds like it was a minhag. That's what the language sounds like. The language sounds like the daughters were no hake. They accepted upon themselves this minhag of doing that.
Maybe it was because they were confused. So that this is a way that they could be within the Rabbanan, in the case it is Rabbanan.
Okay.
And certainly within the Teresa.
Okay, but there are ways of ascertaining. It's just that my question is: then the Rabbanan or is it a minhag? Is there any difference between the two? Right, even Orthodox Jews not only keep the Oraisas, we keep the Rabbanans, and we also keep minhagim. Yeah. So, is there any difference? So, potentially, yeah.
Minhagim
vary. What?
Can we keep minhagim?
We keep minhagim, right? So, what would the difference be?
They vary by community.
Well, not unless Benos Yisrael means Benos Yisrael. Everybody, that's a minhag.
But that's more than a minhag. Minhag is a community.
Minhag.
Different minhag.
I've given right. Minhag can mean. As pointed out, I forgot where I saw this. Minhag can mean six different things, right? So the word minhag is a ubiquitous term. Maybe I'm not sure if I just used the word ubiquitous right or not. But the word minhag it could mean is an ambiguous term. It can mean many different things. A minhag could mean. That we eat kreplach on Erev Yom Kippur, right? Or it could mean that we're stringent about kitnios on Pesach, right? So those are obviously different levels of stringencies that are out there, right? My minhag is that we all dress up on Purim, the whole family keeps one theme. Well, okay, it's not necessarily, those don't mean the same thing.
But is there a minhag for Benot Yisrael for all of...
So yes, I mean that's what the word means. Nahag means a way of acting. So this was a minhag, this is the way they acted. The question just is, was it ever formally accepted as a din d'rabbanan? That's sort of the question that's out there. Who cares, right? We should keep minhagim as well. So there is, this isn't so much of an issue today, but there was a concept, some may have heard of this term before, orthodox infertility. Has anybody ever heard this term before? From orthodox infertility. What does orthodox infertility mean? So the way a woman's cycle is set up, it actually works very well with the Nida cycle that we observe today. Was generally speaking, a woman ovulates around the 14th, 15th day of her cycle. So by the time a woman goes to her mikvah, so first of all, she needs to keep 5 days no matter what, which is a different halacha, which I don't know if we'll get to now. And then she keeps 7 clean days. By the time all the dust settles, it's usually around the 14th or 15th day that she's actually going to the mikvah, which happens to work very well with her ovulation cycle. There's a bit of a problem because sometimes when a woman ovulates, there's stuff that comes out and it could sort of look like blood, in which case it messes up the entire Shiv and Nikim, but whatever. So we can get around that problem. So it actually works out very well. What if a woman ovulates on day 13? Always on day 13, or always on day 12 or day 13. So then you have a problem, right? She's never going to be with her husband around ovulation time. So that problem became known as orthodox infertility, because it doesn't bother anybody else. That works fine for most people. But if one is going to be machmir and not go to the mikvah until day 15, so then you're always going to miss the ovulation cycle. So I think nowadays, even that's not really an issue anymore, because we just give her a couple of hormones and let the ovulation take place a day or two later. I think it's pretty easily overcomable in today's day and age. But back in the day, I mean, back in the days, not so long ago, 30, 40, 50 years ago, so this presented a major issue, and Poskim argued about that. There are Poskim that came along and said, because it's only a minhag for the purpose of puravu, maybe we shouldn't be as strict. And if a woman is only bleeding for 2 days, we shouldn't make her keep the shiva nikim, because it's only a minhag that is being kept. The truth is, even that didn't really, that doesn't really help too often, because it's very rare that a woman is really only menstruating for only 2 days. It really ends up being more than that, so whatever. But that at least that issue was discussed about what the terminology of Ichmir al-Atzmon means. Okay? We good so far? Okay, so that's how we come out to the every time a woman is going to have any type of blood. I shouldn't say any type of blood. Most types of blood, she's going to have to wait Shiva Nikim. Now, there's another ingredient that needs to be put in. And that is the following. If you look in Pasuk Yutes, the Pasuk says, V'yishaki tia zava, a woman will have a discharge. This is the laws of Nida, not Ziva. Just the term Zava is used because it means a flow. A woman will have a flow. Dam yezova bivsara. Her discharge has to be from the flesh of her blood. What is that talking about? The discharge has to be from the flesh of her blood. So the Gemara makes a comment and says, you know what that's talking about? Besides a woman having blood in order to become a Nida, she also has to have what's called Hargasha. What is Hargasha? Hargasha means a feeling. Okay, what's the feeling? So that's a big question. Nobody knows what that is.
Cramps.
So many people say, well, what do you mean? Cramps, she's having cramps. So the Rishonim don't describe in the same way. The Rishonim all take different stabs at what this is. And at some point later on, I think it's an Udib Yehuda who actually talks about asking his wife. His wife says none of it exists. Like, it's all fake. And nowadays it's questionable whether a woman really experience Hargasha at all. In which case, that solves the problem, right? No more Nida, because there's no more Hargasha. So some poskim say, come on, give us a break. We're not throwing out all the laws of Nida. The way it's assumed today is that if a woman has a regular period, we assume she had Hargasha. Whatever Hargasha is, we assume she had it during that time, and we assume that all women are going to be considered Nida on a level of Doraisa Bisman Azeh, assuming they're having their period. Now, what if it's not their period? Let's say it's only a little bit of blood. So then we have the right to start saying, well, maybe that might be blood, dam, beli Hargasha. Maybe that's blood without Hargasha. And that's where Rabbanim get the most difficult Nida Shailas, because there's no real way of gauging. How do you judge between what's referred to as heavy staining versus a light flow? Right? How do you work that out? So therefore you need, rabbis need to have Rabbanim and perhaps Yuetzitz as well, have to have experience into trying to decipher how to distinguish, right? So there are various tricks that rabbis use. I would tell you, but I'd have to kill you all about what those tricks are. But sometimes you ask questions in specific ways, and you get the answers, terminologies that you get back, sometimes are revealing a little bit as to whether you would treat it. But you realize the stakes are pretty high, right? It's either all or nothing. You're going to say, you're a Nida, and therefore you have to be separated from 2 months and go to the 2 weeks, sorry, 2 weeks and go to the mikvah, or you're fine, right? It's one or the other. There's because of the Benos Yisrael Hichmir al-Atzman, there's no middle ground anymore. So that question is then it requires some Yishuv Hadas to be able to come to a proper answer. Yeah.
I asked like 3 questions.
Okay.
So what happens when you're contaminated? What does it mean?
Okay. So nowadays, nothing. But in terms of Tumah Tara, nothing. But in terms of, I shouldn't say nothing. There are ramifications, but they all show up in the laws of Nida. I mean, what it really means, Bismana says, that a woman can't be with her husband during that time until she goes to the mikvah later on. So that's really what we're worried about. And during that time as well, there's various stringencies that they observe with each other in order to ensure that they don't be together.
Okay. And why is that? It seems to be like a kind of a stringent requirement on women, during menstruation, but not really, it says something about men being, contaminated when they just ejaculate.
Right. So Tumah V'Tahara doesn't really exist for us. But we assume, we're going to get to later on, where we'll do this entire halacha day again. No. It shows up another 2 times in the next couple of chapters. One is the the Torah tells us that a man is not permitted to be with his wife during the time of her nida. So that we assume is irrespective of Tumah V'Tahara. I mean, we assume Tumah V'Tahara exists today. We just don't care about it because we're not going to the Mizbeh, to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're not having karbanos, and we're not eating truma. It's just not applicable. But the in terms of the prohibition of being together, so that's fully applicable. This man is there.
But it sounds like it's not necessarily related to contamination. It just happens to be.
Yeah. So it's that context that we learn the halachos, and then they all get transferred over to another section. So there are some details in the laws of nidah. We say, is that a tumah v'tahara din, or is that a iser v'heter? Like, where exactly does that fall? But this is really the basis for the halachos that we just plug it in later when it talks about the prohibitions.
And the third question I had was probably just because I don't know well enough, but I was under the impression that women are not, you don't have to do time-bound positive commandments.
Right.
Generally speaking.
Okay, right. So ain't time-bound gadol mizu, right? So first of all, number one is that's positive commands. This is a negative command.
Well,
it's a positive in that they go to the mikvah, but it's a negative to be together, right? That's A. And then B, time-bound means that it's based on a time of day, right? Would we say that benching, for example, so benching, you have to bench within 72 minutes of eating. So would we call that a time-bound mitzvah? So probably not. There's a misprint someplace that maybe says that, but that's not what we assume. We assume that women are just as obligated to bench as males are, even though it's bound to a specific time, it's really bound to an event, not a time on the clock.
Okay?
Yep. All right, so what should we do? Should we do the 5 days? Or, the other one, the other part is a little more relevant. It's fine for the people here. So there is one other way that a woman could become a nida, perhaps that's not during the period of the month, that's not during the time of the month, and perhaps doesn't even have to do with menstruation per se. Shouldn't say one other way, but there's another important way, and that is what we call psichas hakever. What does psichas hakever mean? The opening of the grave, literally what it means, but the Gemara makes a comment. The Gemara says, well, let's say a woman gives birth, now, not necessarily to a baby, but gives birth, maybe some kind of miscarriage, or something comes out that has some type of substance. That's what the Gemara is talking about. What it is, sometimes women do have miscarriages and something comes out that's kind of odd looking. That's probably what the Gemara was referring to. But something comes out. There's some kind of object that comes out. So the Gemara calls that what we call psichas hakever. That it's like the womb opened up, the grave opened up, so to speak, something came out. And the Gemara has a rule, ein psichas hakever below dam. That nothing can come out except things don't come out without blood coming along with it. So a baby is born, whenever a baby is born, so we assume that there's blood along with it. Now, there always is. I assume there always is. When babies come out, there's a lot of dam that is coming out as well. But let's say some miracle happens and it doesn't work that way. We would still call the woman nida because of that rule. Im psichas hakever below dam. Now, how does that come up today? Not so much, right? There are some procedures that you might, if a woman has a miscarriage, sometimes you're pulling it out, or some type of abortion that's, whatever. But let's leave that aside. More relevant where this perhaps comes up is that the Nod Yehuda comes along, the Alta Zaidi comes along and says, you know what? Just as there's ein psicha sakever below dam when something is coming from the inside, I would say the same thing holds true from the outside. Why would there be anything with regards to the outside? So sometimes there are medical procedures that are taking place where the doctor needs to get to her uterus and has to expand, dilate the cervix somewhat. So we call that's called psichas hakever, right? Where the doctor is opening the kever in order to get in. So does one have to, so does a woman automatically become a nida under those circumstances? So this is that's a very relevant question, and often appears outside the regular realm of these halachos, because who are the populations that these things are being done for? So it's really, I would say, three populations that need to have these types of procedures. So number one is a woman who had a miscarriage and you need to kind of clear out. So that's usually anyway is going to have dam and it's not even an issue. But the other two populations that might have these types of things are biopsies. They might be uterine biopsies, which are either young people who are having trouble having children, or older people that think that they don't have to worry about Hilchos Nida anymore, right? So both of those populations all of a sudden have significant shilas with regards to this. So with regards to the young people, it's a big thing, because for a couple that's having trouble having children, so every month counts, right? You don't want to just say, oh, forget about this month because she's going having uterine, especially because the time when this is done, when do they do these types of procedures? They usually do it in what we refer to today as the Zayin Nikiyim, right? That's when the uterus is most clean. So they'll do a biopsy specifically at that time. So if we're going to say, oh, well, she's automatically going to become a Nida, and therefore you got to start your Zayin Nikiyim all over again, right? So that's a very problematic thing to do. You're pretty much telling them, sorry, you can't, you know, we're going to take this month out of the realm of possibility for you having children. And then for older people as well, for older people that have to have some type of biopsy there. So you know, they think they're done with Hilchos Nida, all of a sudden, lo and behold, no, yeah, Hilchos Nida come very much back into play when these procedures all of a sudden come up. So there is a...
How about fertility treatments?
So it depends what the fertility treatments are.
If they actually have to...
Right, so if they are taking an egg out, for example, if they're removing an egg in order to do artificial insemination, so that is an issue. However, in that case, the stakes aren't as high because they already have the egg, right? The egg is out, right? But yes, the same issue. Now, there is what is unclear is what is considered psichas hakever. How dilated do we call it dilated? So the number that is used is 15 millimeters. What is 15 millimeters? What's the equivalent of 15 millimeters? New engineers?
So 0.15 centimeters.
Yeah, it's half an inch.
About half an inch, right?
Yeah, so, more than half an
right.
Inch.
So we assume that if you talk to doctors, they'll tell you that we wouldn't open I believe most procedures don't open it that much. I mean, if you're sticking a pipe up, the pipe is much smaller than that. Svardim have more of a reason to be machmir, because Rav Avadya Yosef has a line, and I remember where he says that it's like the smaller than that. Like this, I think he says like the size of, of an ink pipe, like a pen. This terminology that he uses. What?
An ink cartridge?
Yeah, in a pen. Yeah, I think that's what he says. I don't remember. I'm going to have to look it up. And then I remember also one time, this kind of raises a whole separate issue, and that is part of this program that I was in, we had a doctor, a gynecologist come, was speaking to us about this, and he said that you know, for that size, we would never, we wouldn't dilate a woman that much without... without anesthesia, right? So if you're not having anesthesia, it's not an issue. So Reshechter was sitting there. He came to this to listen to the gynecologist. He says, "Yeah, but you know, the reason why it's so much like that is because there's no real source for it. However, they found in the new." What's the name of the Sefer? The Ravid Sefer and Hilchos Nida, which was just reprinted, they found an old manuscript where the Ravid says that it's really a very small amount that's going in, which might change the entire halacha. Right? But so now all of a sudden we have a Rishon that's giving you a shear, a measurement, so maybe that changed the entire halacha. So that's like a whole separate question. I mean, what do we deal with manuscripts that are 900 years old that all of a sudden show up today that perhaps impact the way halacha has been observed for the last couple hundred years? Right. So that is that's really a question for a different time. But I think that suffices for our introduction to Hilchos Nida. Okay? More than enough.